I stayed there through that year and three more, because there were no openings in teaching, no openings in work of any type. So,
Well, how about during the summers? You came
during home? The summer, no. During the summer, well, let's see, that we had generally around 15 or 18 people from ages. Well, the youngest ones we had was two. There was two children, the brother, Gloria and Shauna. Their parents left them there, and they were traveling all over. And so we had from two to about 16 years of age. And I would have some classes. The headmaster would have the woman who was had this private school. She just died at the end of in September. We just heard she was 97 when she passed away. And then her mother. So generally there was three or four people took various classes through the year. And then in the summertime, there's a tent down on the lakefront. And I'd have the boys in tent there, and the girls were up in the big mansion, as we call it.
Manor.
It was called Packard Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And there, we would have some people that were up to age 18 or 19 during the summertime. They would come there for activities. And then I even had my buddy Jordak from Theodore. He was there, and I had my nephew there, I think, one summer. And all of us would have some part in the programs. I would have swimming. There was a girl too from Pennsylvania. She came over and was swimming instructor, and we had canoes and boats, and we took long hikes, would carry our food, set up, fix fires and fix meals, all those fresh rolls and eggs and bacon we'd fix. Oh, beautiful. But that was 4 years, and then finally there was a break, and I got word that there was an opening in science teaching, so I came in and applied, and so then that was...
Was that about 1932,
33? 34. 33 then, because my first job then, teaching in Maple Heights, was in September 1933. We had $100 a month, $900 a year, 9 months teaching and 3 months off.
Oh, my.
And then after a year or two, then we had script for about 2 years.
Now, was that more money than you were making over Lake Chautauqua?
Yeah, because they had, we were on a shoestring all the time through those 4 years.
Now, was this about the time that you met Mrs. Moss?
No.
No?
I met you when I was a freshman in college.
Oh.
I was a junior. And my buddy Jordak and I were over in the lab. We were going to do some work in a chemistry lab, and we ran across she and her friend from Columbus, and they were in there. So Al and I had decided to raise hell with any time. They were doing a lousy job. You should do it this way and that. And
you didn't change at all.
But they were mad. After about a half hour teasing them, then we left. But I said. There's a little mural game in the old gym. I see you over there. She didn't say anything, but that afternoon she was over there. So then that was our first date. But we didn't get married. That was,
I taught 4 years.
I didn't.
You taught after Otterbein, huh? In Barberton?
And at that time, if you got married, you didn't teach any longer.
Oh, that's right.
They fired them.
Married women
weren't good teachers, you know. So it shouldn't, we got married in April, and I got a couple months out of them.
April 1935. So you see,
I graduated here from... I haven't quit.
29, so it was 6 years. And then I had enough money to get my pay, and we got married and went off to Pennsylvania at her sister's place. We were married, and that's when she had her renowned honeymoon. Her face just full of freckles. Measles. Oh, she spotted on her wedding day.
Oh, my.
She looked and she said, "You want to get married?" And I says, "Hell's doesn't wait longer. I'm not going back another day." So her face was up. She's had measles about 4 or 5 times. The last time was her wedding.
Yeah, I picked it up
50 years
from the school. You know,
the kids.
Kids.
Yeah.
So she was quarantined. That's what they did. They put a sign here. But she was with her sister up in Pitcairn, Pennsylvania, a railroad.
Good thing
garage.
We didn't get to go to the Poconos, you know. Good thing I broke out before. Or we'd have been quarantined there. And what we would have done, we couldn't afford it to stay there for another 2 weeks.
Are you from Pennsylvania?
No. My sister and brother-in-law were in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but your folks worked there for years, too.
Well, that was before I arrived.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I was born in Barberton. And
whereabouts in Barberton? And what, like, pretty close to what street?
Oh, on Newell Street, right next to the high school. The old high school. So I guess it is still there.
About in the central part of Barberton.
Yes. And when I was in school, our basketball team was up at the Goodyear gym, and we won the tournament for the area, I remember.
Yeah.
And then they found somebody that was ineligible or some way. I can remember that.
They probably lost all those games.
It was just wonderful going to that basketball game up there, and our team went right through.
But then when you graduated from Otterbein, then you went back to Barberton and you taught over there?
I finished at Kent. I finished at Kent State. And then by transferring from Otterbein to Kent, I transferred semester hours to term, and I lost a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I had to go 2 summers in addition to the 4 years in order to graduate at Kent. Mm-hmm. But they had a nice training school. And I graduated in home ec.
Home ec, she specialized
in. And UL Light, he was at the school when I was in school, and they had opened a new junior high up in the north end of town in Portage. And he hired me in August for September in that new school. And the home ec hadn't been fitted out or anything. And I went into a real job. So it turned out all right.
She had to train girls. Ninth grade girls?
I had a cafeteria. I operated the cafeteria with ninth grade girls. And I had a full schedule, including a homeroom. And I didn't even have a free period before I served. And the clothing laboratory was in one end of the building, and the foods laboratory was in the other end, and all the tables and chairs for the cafeteria were in between. So from my desk in the sewing room, when I was having a class, when I supervised anything in the cafeteria area by the stove, I had to walk past all those tables. Waste bait, some man must have planned that, don't you think?
Yeah.
That was really, when I stopped to think how inconvenient that was. I was to supervise it. Sometimes I had a sewing class when I was trying to supervise something in the in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so inconvenient.
Hmm. Well, how did you serve?
I served quite a few because there was a grade school. This was in the junior high where I was. And it was from the 7th to the 9th. And they also housed the crippled children for the whole city. And there must have been up to 20. And I was responsible for preparing their meal to the state, because the state made certain requirements for the kind of a meal that they had and all that. Then the teachers from the elementary school next to the junior high came over there in the cafeteria, besides children in our junior high. So it's funny, I don't remember exactly how many we did serve, but it was around 100.
That was quite a job, then.
$100 a month?
Yeah. Can I get
90.
Back?
90.
Oh. I want to get back to you two then. The two of you together. This is 1933 now, and you got the job here at Maple Heights.
I
did. This is
September
31. When I went.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you live at that time then, in 33? This is before you were married.
Your folks.
You were.
Oh.
You lived across the bridge and
yeah.
With your folks.
Until we got married.
You got married in 35. Where were you living?
Then I think. Were we at Jones's across from the old Bedford High School?
No, that was the first one.
I think the first place.
In Bedford.
Just a little
we rented two or three rooms in the back of the home.
Rooms.
What street would that be on? Jones was the name of the people?
Side of the high school.
No, across the street from the old high school.
You mean like near Blaine maybe? Or?
No. It's the main road.
Oh, Columbus there.
Yeah, Columbus. That's right on Columbus.
Yes, it was
that's
Columbus.
That's what I'm trying to think of the main road. Columbus because that's where it's way out.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We were there a couple of years and then
we went to my parents had retired and went to the farm. Not near Lodi, and every weekend we went to the farm.
From Bedford?
Yes. We didn't stay in our little two rooms all weekend.
Uh-huh.
Then we were south of Bedford, south of Columbus, a couple of streets. We were there about 2 years with the family we rented.
Yeah, we had an upstairs apartment there. We were there more than a year.
Where was that? What street do you remember?
Johnson Street.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were thinking of moving right there on Broadway or near the donut shop. We were going to rent that place.
We started looking at apartments in Maple Heights, and then that's when we decided to buy a lot and build our house on Phillips Street.
What made you decide to buy the lot over on Phillips? It was just the fact that it was available?
It was available. It was reasonable.
Yeah. All the room was in paved road, and an old couple had bought it and had it about 10 years, and they felt they had no more use for it. I don't know how we got in touch with them. We bought a beautiful lot for $600.
Was that about 1940, 41? Did you start building the house as soon as you bought the lot?
Yeah.
You did.
Must have been around then. Because wasn't Carol born in 40 or 41?
See, Carol was graduated in 57. Yeah, that'd be about right.
Yeah, we moved in there in September and she was born in December.
Yeah.
So she was born, what, was it 1939?
I think it was 39.
Yeah. Okay. And so you moved into Phillips Street then, right about that time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we bought our lot around 37, or it was 2 years after we were married. That's about right.
That's when you and Dad were working in the house, finishing up.
That was my idea.
Now, when Mr. Morales was working, teaching over at the high school, beginning 1933, what were you doing?
I substituted some. Otherwise, I worked at, was that at Rosenblum's?
Rosenblum's for about one.
No, that was lighter.
Yeah. Then after you got married, 1935, were you teaching then at all?
No, married women weren't allowed to teach.
Not even here in Maple Heights?
No, I wonder, I just like to figure out when that date, what date that changed.
I don't know. Because I think as population boomed, state.
I think maybe during the war sometime, probably.
I'll bet, I imagine.
Yeah.
So many went into
a lot of changes then. So you moved into the house on Phillips Street then, actually before the war started. War started in
41.
Okay. And then your family started coming along. Carol was born in 1939. And then
Linda was 11 years later.
Those are your two children then?
Yeah, and Linda was born
over there too, just before we moved here.
Because we came here in 51.
Oh, okay.
October of 51. The big snowfall was 50.
That was huge.
Yeah, November, yeah.
51 was a rough winter too.
They just had a tunnel to get down to Libby Road.
Yeah. That was fun. I remember that too.
Thanksgiving too.
Can you tell me why you decided to move from Phillips Street over here? Was it to be closer to the school?
Oh,
no. My parents, we wanted to get my parents away from the farm.
From Barberton, they went to the farm.
Okay.
My sister was in Barberton first, and they went to Barberton. But when we had Linda, well, they enjoyed coming where the baby was.
Sure.
And so they came here to help me. And then I had to have a beer house.
Yeah, and Dirceks were selling that. I don't know how we got acquainted with that.
Dirceks were selling what?
This house.
This house here?
Because he built his other one right there on Thomas Street in Boulevard.
This was Dirceks' house?
Yes.
This is Dirceks. Oh, he built these and all the other big houses here.
No, I wanted to ask
but
you
he
about
lost
that.
Them all.
Oh, my.
He lost them all, including this one.
This place has always had a special
I always liked this part of Maple Heights. Special, you know?
Yeah. From here on, it was empty. Fields. Right.
There are no other houses in Maple Heights built like this.
Yeah.
Like these. So
good material and workmanship.
No, these were built back in the 20s?
Yeah. 20, could be around 25, 28, because in 29 came the Depression, and then he probably lost them about 30, 31 or 2, somewhere in there.
This was his own little development?
This was his own home.
Now, I remember some of the people who lived around here, like Walt Dursick, I remember them now, and then VTech down the road a little way.
Yeah.
And who were some of the others?
Well, Snyder's were here a long time. Yeah, they were here when we came. Watson's across the street.
Oh, that's right. Sure.
But there were
And Meissner, I think, was over there a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was people from here. And former mayor's family lived here.
Hmm.
He's on the RTA board now.
Oh.
Retired mayor.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Lissy.
Yeah.
Yeah, his family was down here.
Hmm. Well, now this area in here, it's a beautiful area. It's always had nice maple trees and then some of the elm trees around here.
And 50-foot lots.
Was that it?
Why?
It bigger than over on Phillips Street? Philip was what, 40-foot lots or maybe even...
That was more, because we called in and tried to build onto the back of that house.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, because we needed more room.
Yeah.
And I liked that house. That house was really special.
Yeah.
And it was so well built. It had such beautiful floors, and we had a wood-burning fireplace in the living room. And it was also in the basement for a rec room.
Mm-hmm.
And the front of the house could be a living room and a dining room. You know, you could have a large group, but it would be like one large area. You know, like this one is cut up. And that was, I hated to leave over there. A lot of clothes presses and storage space.
Yeah. All that too, it was your house, you built it.
And we built it and we planned for it, and I filled every nail hole in there, I think.
We got 100% loan. I think it was about $3,000, Cleveland Trust, because they had a little bit of money, but no one had money.
Nobody wanted it.
Had no chance for a business or building a home or anything.
Yeah.
And there would be a guy almost every day from the bank watching, make sure all the work was done and good materials. So we have a beautiful home over there.
And then after it was closed in, his father, bless his heart, he didn't like to work on WPA, you know? That's what the government was given.
Yeah.
And he was tickled pink to come and work on our house.
Oh, boy. We took his time.
That's interesting. Oh. Now, this part back in here, Mr. Ross, you know, the creek that goes back
creek,
in there?
And there was a lake down here.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know too much about this lake, though.
Now, I remember kids ice skating there.
Yeah.
Froze over. Then after a while, I don't know... got dammed up and there wasn't any lake back there at all.
They were covered through here.
Oh.
They covered. When they were thinking of building Maple Town, they had to take this creek, Wolf Creek, I think, is it? No? Mill Creek is the other one down there by Corey down at the Kraken. And that would run underneath the Music Manor.
Yeah.
In the old movie house.
Right.
Where the water would come up to your feet and you'd have to move back.
Yeah.
Well, when they were talking about building Maple Town, they had to eliminate that before they could work on the west side. That's why I said nothing on the west side there along Broadway from the old bridge up a ways was around in that area.
Mm.
So then that filled in.
It's my understanding that there was an apple orchard back here that was up on Libby, and it went back into Maple Heights Boulevard.
Yeah.
And that the Bohemians used to come out here years ago.
They had picnic grounds there.
Uh-huh.
Now,
they got apple trees all along here. Fidel's over here on Libby, they got such a deep lot.
Well, those
they
lots
got a lot of fruit trees.
Would run about 400 foot deep.
Yeah.
And they're real old, and Mrs. Tier had real old tears, real old trees back of her place down there off of Broadway.
Well, Jordick's relatives had places up here, right down the boulevard, between the boulevard and Libby.
So a really farm, they had orchards around.
Yeah.
And Ed Oliver's,
Helen.
What's her last name? They had a goat farm right down here on Libby Road.
Oh. Well, I don't know. They said that Maple Heights Boulevard originally was a cow path.
Well, that was all Raymer's farm.
Yeah.
Philip
and
Raymer.
Those are Raymer's sons, that the streets that are Philip and Thomas and Anthony.
Well, he had a building supply, lumber company up there, Raymer, right on Libby Road.
Mm-hmm.
So then they cut roads through and...
Yeah, they called it Libby Road Lumber there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's probably the same one.
Uh-huh. Where Catherine Street is now.
Yeah.
So these go back about 1925, somewhere in through here.
There must have been a lot of building going on here in Maple Heights at that time.
Well...
He went on up and he built the ones all up to make the boulevard, but they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was building up there when we were looking and because we went into one of his houses that he was building when we were arranging to have ours built.
Yeah. I remember when those were being built, we used to call that Little Hollywood up in that area. Those were houses being built just before the war.
Those are nice houses too, but they're built different than these.
Yeah, these are more of a colonial style, I think.
Yeah. And I guess those are 1.5. It's like 2.5.
Right.
But he was working up there. Remember, we went in to see him.
No, they don't build houses for style anymore.
Those other buildings went through there. Boy, they moved fast. When Jacob Heights moved through, then they filled all these other streets. Yeah. That's when every year, Maple Heights had to add another building, school building.
Well, Dursick was doing a lot of that building there, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He had 2 sons that were also carpenters, too.
Yeah.
Now, but those boys were in school when I substituted, so they were younger. But they come and do work for us now.
Well, they're both carpenters, yes.
Yeah, they're both carpenters. They were following their dad's.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Well, didn't one of them marry the Globet girl?
That was John.
That was the younger one, John. Johnny, when he lost his first wife.
Never married.
And then he married another girl. But the older one never did marry. He's still living at home.
So I call him. He comes and does jobs here for us.
Mm-hmm. The house where it's on the corner of Vine and Libby. I don't know. It's an old farmhouse, and I don't know what farmhouse.
Oh, where Dr. Jaffa was.
Yeah, right.
Up on Libby and Libby and Vine.
Yeah.
That's an old farmhouse.
Well, go ahead.
Was that
Friend's farm?
Friend.
Yeah. Okay.
And that farm went right up through here, see?
Yeah.
It came right up to these buildings, I think.
All right.
I don't know how far it extended before Jersey built here.
Well, then he went up into my area, too. The places around Stanley Avenue there, that was part of Friend's farm there, too, Alice.
Uh-huh. It was over that way.
Uh-huh.
Big farms, and then up around Lutheran Church was another big farm.
There was one farm there called Libby, I think, wasn't it? The Libby farm, and then there was another one, but I don't know which one it was.
And I think that was up there right about at the Lutheran Church area.
Yeah, I remember a big barn up there, right on Libby, and pretty close to the Boulevard, Maple Heights Boulevard.
We didn't migrate too far over on the east side. We had our own areas, and then occasionally we invade.
Well, no, you didn't migrate. You didn't let anybody come into your place.
I know, but we didn't want to spoil it. Oh, that was good. Oh,
some of the toughest football games were on Saturdays after they had football games here, the regular high school football games. And Saturday in the morning, the different neighborhoods would play, and I remember our neighborhood would go up and play the Grove guys on Saturdays without equipment. Oh, they were tough games.
Yeah. That was rough.
Swimming boy, skinny dipping.
Uh-huh.
Right down at Corrine's Coal Yard. Mill Creek.
Yeah.
Runs under Broadway and just it makes the bend by the railroad tracks. They had railroad siding over it, and underneath there was about about as big as all this downstairs surface of our house. It was around about 5 foot deep, so we could swim there. And then went up Granger Road to Wolf Creek in Garfield. There's a Dairy Delight, just about right close to where 480 goes across Granger Road. That was shaded off from the road. We'd be running and strip off our overalls and dive in, see who was the first one to dive into creek. And then our big swimming hole was on Rockside. It used to be a brickyard place. They had dug out the clay for bricks for years. And there was 50, 60 foot depth of water.
Where was that, Rockside?
Rockside, across Cherney, just beyond.
No.
Turning a long ways for us to hike through the fields.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we would swim there, but you had to know how to swim because it was long distance. You had to swim across from one side to the other.
There were still some farms, I guess, operating at that time.
Oh, farms, yeah. We used to pick pears, nice pears, before they were ripe. And we'd bring them home, and near Granger in Garfield was a barn, deserted barn, and we'd put our pears in the hay, mm-hmm. and leave them there for about 2 or 3 weeks. Then they'd be nice and ripe. So we'd get the fruit, make sure we had fruit picked early. Yeah, it's good. And right on Granger, where Milo came out, was swamp, a lot of little trees. And that would freeze over. And then we'd play tag, and you'd go skating, and you'd grab a tree and swing around as though when they were ready to grab you. There were so many trees, you could just spin it in all directions. Mm-hmm. But the big spot was up there about where Pease Road is in Garfield. Mm-hmm. There was a big, about an acre plot that was low, and that filled with water. And we'd play hockey on that. And about November, a couple of fellas would pick up the big horse droppings, the nice ones, round it, and we'd scoop those up and we'd keep them till cold weather. Then they freeze. So those were our pucks that we used. Yeah, we have them hidden in the garage or in the barn, and those are ready-made pucks.
When you practice your football when you were in high school, you went up to Rockside there, I guess, didn't you?
That's where we played. Uh-huh. We practiced a side of Coaster's grocery store here on Broadway. Oh, no. One half of the line against the other half. We didn't have full line to scrimmage against or practice against. Hmm. Even W.D. Kuhn would be there clawing. We'd take like four fellas from one side of the line to buck against the other side.
And you practice right next to Coaster store?
It was a little hill there.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about Coaster? He was an older man.
Older man, and he bought that store and sold groceries, and our class, about five or six guys would come over, more than that. With our lunches, we'd go over there and maybe buy a bottle of pop, you know, mm-hmm. and we'd eat lunch there about every day.
Yeah.
With Coasters.
Was he a Civil War vet, do you remember?
No, he wasn't that old.
No.
Mm-mm. But he liked people. He got along with, that's right there.
That was an old store then. That store was there a long time, I guess.
Right there about where the firearms place would be now, I think, on Broadway and Lee. Just across the side of Lee Road. Mm-hmm.
Well, then after a while you started practicing over on Rockside where they had the racetrack.
That's where we played. After the hay was cut in that field, all that stubble, we lined it up and we played our home games there.
The racetrack wasn't there anymore?
Well, the racetrack was farther south, like at the edge of Bedford Township, see? Uh-huh. I don't know, maybe part of the track might have been in Bedford.
Do you remember seeing any races over there at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We used to hike there and climb under the fence, kid, and on the weekends there'd be quite a number of people there, 6,000-7,000 people.
Well, I understand that's how Maple Heights was able to build their village hall.
Yeah, they got money from that.
Yeah.
See, that was illegal.
Yeah.
But, it was going on for a few years.
Yeah.
I know Black Gold, one of the...
wasn't there something else illegal somewhere in this?
Well, yeah, gambling in Thomas
Club.
Thomas Club,
yeah.
So...
Thomas Club, I guess that operated until, well, just about the time you moved, I guess, over on...
I think I heard about
over
that.
There, yeah.
Yeah, the Thomas Club moved from Thomas Street over Dunham. Mm-hmm. It was there a couple, 2 or 3 years over there in Dunham Road. I think it used to be called Jack and Heinz Recreational Hall or so.
Yeah, Jack and Heinz took it over then.
Yeah.
Then they made the skating rink over there, didn't they, out of the old Thomas Club over there on Thomas Street. Remember the skating rink?
It was in the woods, like, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lots of changes.
We enjoyed life. It was rough and tough.
Tell me about, you know, the relationship between the people in Maple Heights and the teachers. How did the people look upon their teachers?
Well, they were very strict. Teachers weren't allowed to participate in a lot of activities, mm-hmm. and they liked them to go to church and no swearing, and so it was morally, the people figured those teachers, we look up to them to take care and do a good job with our youngsters. Mm-hmm. And this idea of playing cards or skipping church or swearing in front of the kids or anything else of that nature weren't permitted.
That wasn't
though they did allow us to put a hand on them if they needed it. Mm-hmm. So good, you do it, then when we get them home, we'll do it too. We give them a few licks, because it was strict.
Well, you know, it was strict, but at the same time, there was a lot of love, I think, that was...
Oh, evident. Hell, there was no question.
They respected the teachers.
And we had a good rapport with the kids.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that there was that rapport, because in my old neighborhood, for example, where the people, for the most part, were German and Slovenian, and they had what would be called today an ethnic background or nationality background, there was a tremendous amount of respect for the teachers. It was always, you know, Mr. Wiley, Mr. Mirage.
They wanted their children to learn.
Uh-huh.
And they backed the teachers up.
Yeah.
So I never had problems with parents and kids. I can enjoy and look back over the years with these class reunions. I remember some. I even remember you.
Oh, sure. Well, you were a coach, too. You coached, you helped coach track, I think, and baseball.
And
I think you did football.
I helped Wiley 1 year in football during the war year when manpower was scarce.
Mm-hmm.
1 or 2 years.
You guys had a good team then, I think, too, if I remember right. You had a Ted Holubka playing one time.
Yeah,
1 year.
So,
you know what was another thing that was unusual, like, I can remember when these young boys he had in school,
mm-hmm.
and they were taken into service, and they would come home on furlough. And you know what they do? They would come to visit him.
Yeah.
We had so many young boys coming, and that's unusual.
Yeah. Well, you opened the doors to us also at the school. I remember coming home, Bill Grigsby and I, for example, and visiting his class. I don't know if that would be done today. Certainly not with the ease that you did it. You know, we were allowed to sit in on your class while you worked and talk to class. It was well done.
Well, maybe the students are different today.
Probably.
Yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that was unusual, you know, that those boys sometimes, you know, it might have been down the corner, a tavern or something, you know, instead of going visiting their
mm-hmm.
school teacher, when they didn't have very much time at home.
Well, as I said to some other students, I don't see people like across the street that I had in school go hiding away or pulling away or turning their back. They come over with a greeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel good after some of these maybe I hadn't seen 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And they come up and she goes shop with me and she said, "Where you been? Where you been?" I said, "I just saw." Yeah, it's from a shop.
Well, I get here and I'm expecting him to come and
four different
he doesn't
people
show.
In 15 minutes they're at Stop and Shop. They want to stop and visit, see? She said, "Where you been?" Well, I like people. So, as I said earlier, I enjoyed my teaching.
You really did, yeah. Up until he retired, just when it was getting where he didn't enjoy it.
When was it you retired? Was that 1970?
70. Yeah. I gave him about a year notice. Uh-huh. I gave him a lot of thought. Linda still had to go to college for a couple of years, mm-hmm. but I had planned a retirement fund for her, and so with her scholarships, she got through nicely.
You had a lot of years at Maple Heights then, huh? You had about
37 here.
37, yeah.
Far up in New York. Mm-hmm. But those didn't count on my
state retirement at all.
Mm-hmm. But though the wages were low at that time, mm-hmm. of course, 8-10 years later, they were almost doubled. But the state has given us a few increases, 3 or 4 over the years. Mm-hmm. So, that with my Social Security, working at Cell Company and other places, right?
Yeah, that's right, too. I remember during the summer how you had mm-hmm. different jobs.
That really was a wonderful
job. Yeah. Wiley and I had about 10 years, 10 different summers.
Did you work on a pneumatic tool one time, too?
Pneumatic tool, yeah. Yeah, and I worked over here at there's a long view right up here in Maple Heights. There's a factory back there, a steel factory.
Yeah.
I worked there. I was testing with x-rays of nickel bars that were going to be made into shell cases. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't have any cracks or they would explode and kill the soldiers.
Mm. This is kind of personal, but you're very much involved yet with the church, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, we've been there. I think I started here about 1944. I was a trustee, even before I joined. They asked me to serve as the trustee, and mm-hmm. then I think I was ordained as a
elder
mm-hmm. in 45, and so from 44 on, I've been involved here with the Presbyterian Church. And I've had a number of offices there besides being an elder through the years.
You were there during the building program then too, when the new church was built?
Right.
Several years he had the youth program. When our children were teenagers, he was working with the youth.
I think we were together, we worked about 7 years. We'd be at the farm, we had to dash back to here Sunday night to take care of the youth program. We had a good bunch of kids.
You had some of our kids around our neighborhood.
Yeah, we had a mixed. They weren't all Presbyterian.
No.
I remember. A real good group of kids.
Yeah, I remember being down there a few times myself with the Grigsby's. Uh-huh.
And then we were out a couple of years, then we had another session about 4 years with the youth.
By the time Linda came along, you probably helped again.
Yeah. So.
And then you did a lot of substituting, I think, in the school system.
I did substituting, even after Linda came.
Yeah.
A little while.
Was that substituting mostly in the home ec department?
All that over, would be wonderful.
It was.
Wilbur Coon would call in the morning, I almost got sick with the phone, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think you had mechanical drawing one class, I think you had shop in another time.
Yeah.
Oh, they counted for everything. Oh.
Yeah.
It was better to have somebody in there. And at least I made him, you know, sometimes you get more out of them if you do it back onto them, uh-huh. their responsibility.
Yeah.
And then I remember I had Mrs. Nears music. Oh. And I got Eleanor Cadell was in that class. And she was really good, and she would help. You know, different ones would volunteer.
Is that the same Eleanor Cadell that we read about today in the newspaper? She's in music. That would be.
That's another
okay.
one. She's in Denver now, and her married name is
Annette.
But her mother is still over here in Maple Heights, yep. same as.
But her daughter now is going to school in New England. Violin, she's going to be tremendous. You'll read about
her. Well, Eleanor was too. She taught at camp, and then she was at the university down at.
Where did they live, the Fidels?
I think they live in Denver now.
No, I mean when they were living here in Maple Heights. Eleanor, where did they live?
On Libby Road, right over here on Libby Road.
Do you know where Phillips Street is?
Sure.
If you come straight out Phillips Street, cross Libby,
bungalow,
you run right into their house.
Okay.
And they got a lot that runs way back to the creek. It runs at least 800 feet.
Like, probably from way back.
Yeah, they got it.
Is that a Bohemian family also?
Yes.
Fidel?
Yeah. And the goat farm was next to them. Oliver's.
You can't say her name, and she just passed away, and her name was.
There was an article in the paper here a few years ago about a goat farm up there, and
yeah. Well, that was it. Joan Marco wrote it up. I gave her some material, and so she used that material to write up the story.
Elizabeth Carter has quite a bit of.